Okay, there's going to be a general lesson plan with this. You'll just have to, this will keep you from having to turn to a lot of different scriptures, and it'll also let you know where I stopped and where I'll start next week, probably. Generally, I may have another page to add before we're through, but that wouldn't be unusual. Father, we want to hear from you this morning. We want to understand you better. We want to bask in your presence. You said we're two are gathered in your name, that you'd be here. We're gathered in your name. Fulfill your word. Fulfill your promises. Be in our presence. Change us from glory to glory into your likeness and image. We are not a perfect people. I've looked around. I've not seen one perfect person in this room. And I don't even want, I know that your word says that we're being perfected. So perfect us with your presence this morning. Change us into your likeness and image. And for that, we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Statements of faith. That's where we are. This will be the third week. And I want to remind you of the first two. The statement of faith number one. We must walk in agreement. Remember the scripture? How can two walk together unless they are agreed? We must walk in agreement. We must agree that God, His Word, His will, His law is the only plumb line of our life. That outside influences make no difference. It's only what God thinks and says. Our obedience and conformity to Him and Him alone causes us to prosper in all things. Our obedience to Him causes His presence upon our lives and His blessings upon our lives. The first time we try to please someone else, His presence leaves because now we have a God before Him. All right? Our second week, our second statement of faith, and these are not necessarily in the order that we're going to post them later, but as we're covering, there's a real hell that was designed for Satan and all of those that choose to rebel against God, His Word, His will, His law. Do you remember? Do you remember? All right. I described, if you remember, I described to you what people looked like, that their father, that they were honoring the wrong father. They were obeying the wrong father. I was amazed at that. I got a lot of help out of that. And I think there were some spirits that rose up and decided to leave because of that. Continue to pray. I will warn you, all ears, please hear. We have enemies outside. I can put names, I can give you faces, and they may not be who you think they are. But they are who you are talking to about this. That's who they are. You get the word in you, and you let God reveal to you about who to talk to and how to talk to them about it. But when you leave this service today, do not pick up the phone and discuss our family business with someone else that's not here. Because it's being perverted and it's coming back false. Keep it to yourself. If you want to witness to a sinner, go ahead. If you've got a Christian friend that's somewhere else, tell them none of their business what goes on here. That God goes on here, and if you want to know what it is, show up. Otherwise, don't ask. All right? Let's cut out the talk that we don't think is gossip that's turning into gossip. Amen? The very first statement of faith, you better be sure who you're walking and talking with. If they don't agree that with the standards and principles of this body, do not talk to them about what we're talking about. You can give them a testimony. You can give them a witness. You can tell them how great God is in this place. But don't discuss details. All right? Okay, really. I want you to participate. That way I'll know your heart's beating. Okay? All right. Our statement of faith for today. Here's what it's repentance is required. Repentance is mandatory in the plan of God. It is not optional. Repentance is not optional. We're going to go into great detail. What is repentance? It's the recognition of wrongdoing. I should have put not someone else's, but yours. Okay. It's the recognition of wrongdoing. That's recognizing that you've done something wrong, confessing it openly, and not doing it again. And not doing it again. It's the changing of directions in living and thinking. That's what repentance is. Anything that doesn't fit that is not repentance. I'm sorry if I offended you is not repentance. That's a loose apology, but it is not repentance. Don't mock Jesus Christ and His death on the cross by apologizing for something that you didn't do. And as we go through these scriptures, you're going to understand what I'm saying. To loosely apologize is to mock Jesus Christ. Repentance is recognizing that I did something wrong and I'm apologizing. I'm taking care of it. I'm asking for forgiveness and now it's done. By the way, your opinion doesn't matter where it's done or not. The minute I have done it, it's done whether you agree or not. So I don't repent, actually, to anything. Repentance is something that happens in me, not by the acceptance of you. Okay? Repentance never depends on someone else. It only depends upon the one that has recognized that something is wrong. How do I know that? Because if it were that easy, Jesus would have just said, "Forgive them all," and they would have all been forgiven. They wouldn't even have to repent. But Jesus Himself taught different. He taught that that wasn't going to work. All right. If you look at your paper there, I showed you I took out of the Strong's dictionary, the Thayer's lexicon, numbers of words that were used in repent, repentance, repenting. And you will see that the definitions, I'm not going to even try to pronounce the original word, but it is to think and act differently, to change one's, and I misspelled that, mind and direction. It's the compunction for reformation, the reversal of decision, a change of mind and direction that includes regret. That's what the word we're talking about here. It has nothing to do with "I'm sorry I got caught." Did you hear me? "I'm sorry that you caught me" is not repentance. "I'm sorry that you challenged me on that" is not repentance. It includes a heart change. You must recognize that what you did displeased God. I'm not much interested in you recognizing that what you do displeases other people, because that amounts to nothing. I don't care if I displease you, and you shouldn't care if you displease me. The only thing we should worry about is displeasing God. And when we realize that happens, we may have to apologize to some people, but you better get the repentance down to God. Okay? A heart change direction. "I'm sorry I did this such and such and thing to you. I will never do it again," is repentance. How do I know that? Jesus said, "Your sin's forgiven, go and sin no more." Now, Jesus wasn't talking about every sin that could ever be committed. The woman was caught in adultery, and so what He was talking to her about was, "Don't commit adultery anymore." We can't handle the command to go and sin, no sin anymore. And that's proven in the Bible also. Amen? All right, let's go. Let's get started. Okay. Repentance is mandatory, so we need to know who needs to repent. Who must repent? My very first statement there, it is mandatory for everybody. And it's mandatory for everybody all the time. It's like a state. It's like a room. It's like a place. It's not that I have to be sorry for everything and apologizing for everything. I must be in the place where I'm ready to at all times. That there's nothing in the world that could keep me from repentance, because it pleases God. Not to please flesh. Never apologize to somebody to please flesh. Don't do it. The answer, all. We must be ready to change at all times. Whenever God reveals a need to repent and change. What did I say there? God's revelation to you is the only thing that counts. Somebody coming to you and saying, Oh, you offended those people. You got to go take care of it. If you don't, they're going to go to hell. Or you may cause them to stumble. Let me tell you something. People's voices are not necessarily God. They can be used, but then you have to have a revelation in your heart that that was God or it wasn't God. And if it wasn't God, forget it. And if it was, get on your horse and ride, ride, ride and get it taken care of. Don't let the sun set. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. What is the first statement I've read to you? Sometimes that my demeanor and my way is going to offend you, and I don't care as long as it leads you to repentance. So we can't apologize every time we offend somebody. Paul was saying to these people, I've offended you and I don't care. It led you to repentance. What's your beef? So don't be too quick to repent. Be quick to repent when God says to. For you were made sorry in a godly manner. For all of you that think that Jesus touches and makes everybody happy all the time, you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. Now, can I tell you what the rest of that was? Paul was saying, I'm glad you repented, because it's going to get worse if you didn't. Now we can come and talk to you and you won't be offended all the time, because you got the repentance out of the way. What am I saying? I'm saying those that have wronged and do not repent will walk around offended. And for those of you that know the story already, I'm telling you, we've seen that in the last 2 weeks. We've seen somebody that committed a wrong, became offended at everybody, and that everything that you said, did, or thought offended them because they would not repent from that. And you know what? We're freer in the Spirit right now than we've been in a long time. Maybe there's something good about this. Come on. Let's give God praise in all things, whether we feel like it or not. Amen? All right. Acts 17:30. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. I would bet you that all men everywhere includes everyone in this place. It didn't say no more repenting after I'm saved. It didn't say after 50 years walking with the Lord I have no more to repent. The fact that I could say I've been walking 50 years with the Lord with a little pride in my voice probably means I need to repent. The truth of the matter, God's the one that's got the pride there. He managed to put up with you for 50 years. Come on, that's all of us. We don't put up with God. He puts up with us. And sometimes He taps us on the shoulder and says, you know what? That's a little more than I can handle. I want some repentance out of you now. Everybody. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all must repent. How many of you felt that you went to the farthest extent of God's glory today? That you saw the greatest part of God today? That you moved as close to God today as you could? Well, then all have sinned and come short. And I think every day we ought to repent and say, God, I didn't get as close to you as I'd like. I want to get closer. If we can't think of anything else to repent for, let's start there. What causes us to want to repent? How many of you have ever wanted to repent? Now listen, I'm talking about something in you that gave you indigestion or kept you awake at night or made you toss and turn or worry or something. There was something in you that was making you uncomfortable. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just dying. Boy, give me somebody to repent to today. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something in you just won't give you peace about it. What causes that? Where does that come from? Here's your answer. The love of God causes that. The Holy Spirit drawing us from death to life causes that. The weight of sin and wrongdoing causes that. And you better thank God every day for that. Because the minute that does, these things do not affect you. The Bible says a hard heart, and the next step is a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means that I did you wrong, but you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I have the right to do you wrong. And you know that it's right because I did it, even if you think it's wrong. Come on, we just stepped through some of this manure. Let's get it in order. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Are you hearing me? God Himself is the one that draws people. If it's the last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to get you to understand something. Salvation is not a one-time thing. Salvation is not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. This is the day the Lord hath made. I get up and I'm going to work this day. I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling this day. Am I in fear of hell? Of course not. I don't even think about hell. It's not even a suggestion. It's not even in my mind. It's not part of my thought process. How to please God is my thought process. That's why I want to do better every day. I'm not afraid of hell. I just want to look closer to God every day, every day. Amen? That's what I'm talking about, working out your salvation. I wish they hadn't used fear and trembling because it's respect. It's not fear, it's respect. It's desire, it's love. D. If others will not repent, why should I? Oh, brother. Well, they won't repent, so I'm not going to. Well, who said God told them to? Maybe He just told you. Maybe you did the wrong and they didn't. I know that's hard to swallow. I know that's hard to swallow. I'll tell you an evil deed, and that's to repent to get repentance. To apologize to get an apology. That's evil. That's witchcraft. Don't do it. If God puts on your heart to handle it, don't wait for a response. You go take care of it and you think, have a nice day, and you keep going. Don't wait for them to hug you, cry on you, have a little sympathy episode or a little goosebumpy episode. Just take care of business and walk away. Don't turn it into a soap opera. It's the business of salvation. And don't get discouraged when you don't get one back, because that's generally the response. Now, here's why I should repent and not worry about someone else. Because I want the best for me and mine. Why should I repent? Because I want the best, the very best for me and mine. Regardless if others around me do not. Regardless of what others want or don't want, I want to please God and not man. I'm not apologizing to somebody to please you. I'm not going to repent to please anyone. I'm going to repent to please God. Just between me and Him anyway. Now listen, Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. A little loss of pride, a little loss of dignity, a little loss of face. It's okay, no big deal. It says, I count everything loss anyway for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. I'm only interested in gaining Christ, not gaining your approval. What is the purpose of repenting? And I want to start a long thing here, but I won't try to get them all. What is the purpose of repenting? And I've already covered a lot of this, but I'm going to go into detail. How many of you believe Scripture? Well, I'm going to hit every one of these with close, exacting Scripture. If the Word is a sword, I'm coming with a scalpel, not a machete. I'm going to do some pinpoint things this morning with these things. Listen to me. Purpose of repenting. Number one, it brings us into kingdom life and kingdom values. It's not my idea, it's God's. Listen, Matthew 3:2. Jesus said, "And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Can I tell you something? This scripture tells me that you will never understand or see the kingdom of God without learning repentance. You will hear about it, but you will never understand it. Can I tell you the number one thing we ought to repent from that the kingdom of God includes? Government. Government is the kingdom of God. Can I tell you what the kingdom of God is? God is the Father, is the kingdom of God. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, rules and reigns eternally. And there's no other statement and no other government. That's government. That's the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom. Jesus is the King, is the kingdom of God. Now let's go a little further, since that was easy to swallow. That God ordains governments. And that's part of the kingdom of God, even if they don't confess it. That husband, head of the house, is kingdom of God. It's called government. That parents rule over their children 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the kingdom of God. If some of those things do not fit you, repent so you can understand. That God has anointings and callings, and He didn't ask anybody's vote or opinion. He appoints those that He wants to do what He wants. Are you hearing me? That's called government. The thing that church lacks terribly. Government is not the man with the fanciest suit, the best voice singing, or the best preacher. It's the one that God has said, "Speak what I tell you to speak." That's government. That's government. And I got news for you. I'm a preacher. It's been a long time since I've never been able to admit that, but in the last little bit, Harry, I'm beginning to understand what a pastor and a preacher and a teacher means. It means government. It means somebody's going to step up and rule in this position, and they don't even have to smell good. They just do it. And there's some people out there that better stop touching those called, or they're going to die right before your eyes. And watch it happen. Watch it happen. I've had enough. I've had enough, Harry. I've had enough of the garbage talk and the stupidity that's out there. I'm not doing it this for their approval or their paycheck. I'm doing it to please God. If they don't like it, the world can get square and jump off. They can jump off. I don't care. And I don't care what their last name is. I don't care how much tithe they give. I don't care how many times they've hugged my neck. I live dangerously. And you know what's the dangerous part of my life? Is submitting to anybody else's opinion except God and Him alone. That's the dangerous part of my life. It is not friendship. It is not amount of tithe. It's not who lives close to me. It's not who smiles or jumps up and pulls out a chair for me and says, "Oh, Pastor, we're so glad to see you. Here, sit right here." None of that makes any difference, because those people turn their back on you so quick. I don't care. I repent for the very thought that I cared. I said it last week. I've let cancer go too long. The cancer is flattery. The cancer is manipulation. The cancer is usury. The cancer is blast names. The cancer is too close a friend. The cancer is time. You're consumed by time. I'm turning from that. I don't want any more to do. I'm not going back. Government is, Harry. Government is. The kingdom of God is. That God called me to do what He wants me to do, boldly, and not answer to anybody. How about you? Not manipulated, not persuaded, and not pressured by anybody. But except the love of God. God loved me. The Bible says that. Remember, our children sat up here last Sunday. Jesus loves me, this I know. Let me ask you something. What else do I need to know? Who else do I need to love me? Come on, answer me. Who else? I don't need anybody else to love me. I just need Him to love me, and I need to stay in that position. I need His respect. I need His honor. I need His approval. I don't need anybody else's, and that's everybody in here. You need to please God. And I'm talking about something that causes God to love you. Repentance. The kingdom of God. You repent, the kingdom of God is going to be opened up in word, thought, and deed. Government and authority is going to begin to look good and not bad. Two. Repentance brings and maintains mighty works. Matthew 11:20. Anybody in here want to do a mighty work for God? All right, listen to this. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. If you've ever done a mighty work and they seem to have gone away, maybe it's because the repentance mode didn't stay in there. You got too big for your britches. You got to start saying, you know what God did for me? Used to. He used to use me in the front of tens, hundreds, thousands. I used to be able to do this, and I used to. Well, you know what? How come it's used to? Jesus Himself. I did mighty works over there, and now I'm not going to do them anymore because they forgot to repent. They forgot how to repent. Come on, I'm telling you something. You need to listen to this message. Because when I started studying this, I found out what kind of tremendous things can come from repentance and how what kind of tremendous things we can lose from forgetting how. Number three, lack of repentance causes hard hearts and woes. And by the way, if you'll notice, nearly every scripture that I've used has been in the New Testament. There's a couple in the Old, but that's okay. I want to stay in New Testament because that's where you and I are. When it comes to repentance, we no longer go to the Old Testament. Repentance is unique to the New Testament, the way we do it. In the Old Testament, we could do what they did and it wouldn't work. So there's no use to go back there. Let's stay in the New Testament and listen to how Jesus talked about it. Amen? All right, Mark 11:21. Woe to Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Did you hear what that said? It's talking about cities now, not individuals, cities that learn to repent. He said, I did such mighty works over there in those two other cities. If those mighty things that I have done in your presence were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have fallen on their face and repented. Now come on guys, what's the difference? The mighty works? No. Jesus? No. A hard heart. I don't believe I need to repent. I believe I'm good enough. In fact, I believe I'm so good that it must be everybody else that's wrong. Because I walk with God. And I talk. And I read the Bible 16 to 32 hours a day. And I meditate on Him that same amount of hours. You know what? These people said that, and the mighty works went away. And the hard hearts set in. Okay? We don't want to be there. We don't want to go there. Four, it brings power and righteous judgment. Repentance. Can you believe this? Admitting you're wrong once in a while brings power and righteous judgment. You see, God does things different than the world. Much different than the world. We admit we're wrong all the time in the world, and guess what happens? Everybody loses confidence in us. In the kingdom of God, when God speaks and says, say you're wrong, and you say I'm wrong, you get power and authority and all kinds of good things as we're going to read on. Number four, brings power and righteous judgments. Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Now, can we just dwell on that story just a little bit? You remember what happened here? That Jonah was about his business, doing the will of God, praise God, reading and praying and fasting. And then he's just a Christian of all Christians. And God said, I want you to go over to Nineveh and preach. And He said, I think I heard that, but I'll do it later. I'll get around to it one day. There's this other place I want to go to. It's better. The offering is better there, and they received me better, and they hugged my neck, and they kissed me, and boy, I feel so much better over there. So he just decided to go, and guess what happened? Come on, what happened? He ended up in another miracle. We all know, children, you all heard. He got in the belly of a whale. Well, it's kind of a loose statement, but a big fish swallowed him. And it shows in there that Jonah's bouncing around thinking about this not too good a cruise. He was sitting there in the fish's belly with seaweed wrapped around his neck. That's what the Bible says. And he said, that doesn't smell like blackened mahi-mahi to me. That's not the steak that I ordered. And this don't look like the dining area that I thought I signed up for. Now, you want to talk about God's hand. This is the greatest thing, if you'll think about this. You people that are a little familiar with diving, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But to be in a fish's fit belly, being able to see and breathe and think is not possible. It's not possible. Because if there were an air cavity in a fish's belly and it went down, the results would be terrible. Do you know that there are no cavities in you? Your stomach is not a cavity. That's why you can dive. You can go 10,000 feet deep in a pressurized vessel, and you can get out at 10,000 feet and swim around, and there's no problem. Why is that? Because air pressure only affects cavities. And so in you, there are no cavities except your lungs. And all you have to do is have the same amount of air pressure put in that's on the outside, and it's equalized. And he was not in the fish's lungs because they don't have any. So we're seeing a miracle happen here. The grace of God. What? The grace of God to bring this man to repentance. What I'm trying to tell you is God will go to great extremes to bring us to repentance. He created a miracle in the punishment or in the distraction or whatever you want to call this. Jonah was bound and determined not to do the will of God. God was bound and determined for Jonah to do that because Nineveh needed repentance. So he had to get Jonah to repent so he can get Nineveh to repent. And he even had to do a little work on the fish. He had to make a fish big enough to swallow Jonah with a stomach enough, empty enough to where it didn't drown him in crud, and blown up enough. This evidently had a case of bloat or something, I don't know. But a big enough open space where he could sit in there and breathe. Can you imagine that? Listen, the point of this is we need to repent quick or we'll all end up in that place. We'll all end up in that place. And you know the worst part of this? If he hadn't changed his mind, Nineveh, a whole city, a whole area, would not have been brought to repentance. So it's not just about us. It's about the kingdom of God. The king telling us what to do for the best for the kingdom. Right? And the fish spit the guy out. Said, I didn't like him anyway. Didn't taste like chicken to me. They told me they all tasted like chicken. Spit him out. Jonah went to Nineveh. And we've got this. The men of Nineveh will rise up. Now listen, these are men that repented. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, greater than Jonah is here. What does that mean? You repented at Jonah, you won't repent at me, Jesus was saying. And so this is not good for you. How much more so you and I? They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. We have the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? Come on. Number 5. Repentance brings others to salvation, not just us. Mark 6:12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Their repentance, listen to me, let's go generic. I'm a sinner. I meet Jesus. I repent and I turn from that walk, that wicked way. Are you get me? And because I repented, Jesus says, go out and tell them to repent. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Why? Because they found out it worked. And the only way you find out if it worked is to do it. Right? All right. Six. Lack of repentance causes death. Lack of repentance causes death. Luke 13:3. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It doesn't say unless you're born again. It says unless you learn to repent. Come on, Christians. Repent is not one time. We've been told a false gospel that we fall on our knees and repent, everything will be fine. Well, it will if you'll just keep up what started this thing. You having a soft enough heart that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm sorry, God. Not one time, but every time He speaks. And what does it turn into? Power and authority and joy and life and abundance is what it turns into. You know what else? And I'm going to show you later in the Scripture. It lets God know that you want to hear Him and He'll speak more. All right. Our repentance will cause others to be changed or rebuked. It gives us the ability to forgive easily and forgive ourselves easily. Now, I want you to get this. This is a big one. This deals with all psychology right now. Everything you hear on television, the news, the women's lib, the men's lib, and all the other garbage that's there. Are you hearing me? Listen. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Nowhere in that word did it say you forgive unless they repent. Now I'm going to touch some people that some of me men on my case. I want you to listen to me. This is Jesus talking, so it supersedes anything that anybody in the whole world has ever said. Got that? I don't care who they think they are. Listen, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. I've taught you before my study of forgiving. This word is loose. It's not forgive. If you want me to tell you something, you can't even loose him unless he repents. He's still bound to the sin that he committed to you. Committed. By the way, people don't sin against you. They sin against God. So don't take it personal. Don't get all offended if somebody sins against you. They may. God may make them come back to you and repent. If he does, you are forced to loose him. So you're free of that. But if he doesn't, don't loose him. He's got a debt to pay to God. Not to you, to God. Am I clear in that? Don't forgive him when God is not ready to. You're out of order. You're out of the kingdom. You're out of authority. You're out of government. There's only one that can forgive, and it's not you. The reason this scripture fits is because when he repents, he may be saying something to you, but in his heart he's repenting to God. And God says, now loose him. That's my command. And you do that. You don't harbor any feelings past that except he's forgiven. Okay? Now, take heed to yourselves is the first part of that scripture. Why is take heed to yourselves the first part of that scripture? Because you ain't got no right to forgive anybody if you're not going around doing some repenting yourself. Okay? Now, here's what it leads to. As we practice this, our repenting, it becomes easy. It becomes easy to repent, and it becomes easy to be forgiven. Are you hearing me? Two ways it becomes easy to be forgiven. One, you know God's heart. You know when He's not mad at you. Boom. The minute you take care of it, I'm free. Right? Second, as I practice this, I learn that I'm forgiven where somebody doesn't forgive me or not, or forgives me or not. I'm already forgiven. You really don't have an opinion on the matter. But it's easier for me to say to you, Harry, I'm sorry, because I already know that I'm accepted the minute. Whether you, Harry, accepts me or not, God has. And if you don't loose me or forgive me, Harry, then you have just now offended me, and now you owe me an apology. Now, I'm not going to require it of you, but God may. So it's a delicate situation. Well, you better be willing to obey. Was that too complicated what I said? You got what I said. I mean, if I ask for his forgiveness and he doesn't do it, he has committed the sin against God now because God has already forgiven me. Now you have just offended me just by refusing to talk or forgive or whatever. Got to be able to practice loose. Now, the most serious offense in the United States, we're told by every psychologist, and so we believe it, is that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. You know most of the reason why we can't forgive ourselves? Because we know we're not forgiven. We know we're not forgiven. We haven't practiced repentance. We haven't gone to the one we've offended. And so we walk around unforgiven. And we say, that's all right, forgive yourself. Well, I got news for you. You don't have the ability to forgive yourself. You don't have the ability. You have the ability to repent and be forgiven. And let me tell you something. If you truly believe in God, everybody in here, if you truly believe in God, the minute you repent, you are forgiven. And that is a truth that nobody can deny. And I'd just like to throw out about 50 names and faces right now. And it don't make any difference about their opinion. If I've done something wrong and I get it cleared from God, by God, it is cleared and it cannot be put back. It's blotted out. It's erased. It's cast as far as the east is from the west. God has chosen to remember it no more, and He'll take offense at those that do. Woo! That's tough. I just disarmed every one of you. You know that, don't you? I just disarmed you from ever getting back at somebody. But you know what else? I armed you with shields that prevent anybody getting back at you. Pretty good trade-off, I think. Good trade-off. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. All right. For those that like this signal, or this insignia, or this foolish sign, which it was interpreted at one time meaning peace, would you just take those fingers and put them up your nose? Because they have just about as much importance. One of the things that we're going to learn as God Himself brings this world to an end. You hear what I'm saying? As God Himself brings this world as we know it to an end. Is He's not going to do it by holding up two fingers. He's not going to hold it. He's not going to do it by holding up banners and walking around the city of Denver saying, war is bad for humanity. When He's the King of Kings, He's the mighty warrior. He's going to do it by chastising. Because that's what His Scripture says. He chastises those that He loves. Now, I'm telling you something. I remember years ago telling my dad that. I'm looking forward to the day I get a whipping every day. Just not by people. I don't need a whipping by people because I'm telling you, I'll whip back when it comes to people. God has His free reign to correct me anytime He wants to. Once a day, twice a day, every minute of the day, that's fine because it is a pleasure to be chastised or corrected by God. Because you know in the depths of your heart that it is for your good and for the good of humanity, His kingdom. So what, you know, who cares? I got a hot tub out there that's set at 104 degrees. And every time I get it in it, I get in it quick. I go, oh, that feels good. It didn't feel good when I first did it. Every time. Every time, right? Every time. Oh, that feels good. Now, that's what happens when we get in hot water with God. We jump in there and we go, ooh, that feels good. And we come out better than we went in. We come out feeling better than we... But if we just went by that first feeling, we'd never get any help at all. So when God, in whatever way He does, gets your attention, whether it's a nice little tap or where it's in the belly of a fish, just realize that it may not feel good for the moment, but man, good's coming.
Amen. Yeah.
Man, good's coming. All you got to do is say, God, I accept You. I accept Your hand. I accept Your will. I accept it even if it takes a little hide, hair, and stuff out of me. I accept it. But please, I'm going to end here, but I want to turn to the back. Turn to the last page of that thing. I'm not going to end, but I'm going to put it off because we got other things to do. I want you to look at number F. I want to remind you of what we're doing here. F, is there true and false repentance? Yes. Number one, true is when spirit to spirit, I'm taking care of business. I'm doing what God tells me to do, when He tells me to do it, and how to tell me to do it. Okay? A, that's the spirit repenting to God. My spirit repenting to God. B, my spirit repenting to your spirit. Now, why am I saying that? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to sin against sinners, you got a problem. Boy, you really far out there when you started sinning against sinners. So most of our sinning is going to be done against our brother and sister. And the only way we're going to walk in agreement is for both of us to know what repentance is and how it affects us. Then it's easy for me to repent to you, spirit to spirit, because I know our flesh is not getting in the way. This is true repentance. Now, number two, this is the false repentance. Flesh to flesh. Man to God for selfish reasons. I don't understand the entire word, so here's what I do. God, and say, I'm sorry for everything, now send me the blessings. I'm just sorry that I even exist. Send me blessings. I'm sorry that I did your will and ran those people off. I want to stay in your blessings. This is not spirit. This is your flesh hurting and you're trying to appease it by talking to God. It's false repentance. B, man to man to make peace for selfish reasons. Man to man, flesh to flesh. You're mad at me? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry you're mad at me. Can we make it up? I'm sorry that in case I offended you, I'm so sorry. How about a little hug and kiss? Peck on the neck here. We'll pat each other's whatever. We'll feel better. Well, it's flesh patting flesh, is it not? It's flesh trying to make flesh feel good for whatever reason. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know I preached that message the other Sunday, and I know that God gave it to me. And I'm feeling so bad that you left the church. Come on. I'm not going to be sorry for what I preach. If I blow it in the preaching sermon and somebody reminds me, that's fine. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the crux of the matter, if God gives it to me, I am not going to mock the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, His Word, His will, His law, because it might upset your apple cart. Paul said, I ain't sorry that I offended you. I gave you the truth. And we've all come to know that light and truth offends darkness and not non-truth, right? All right. Number three, both types may be required by God. Only one will cause you to prosper. Now listen to what I'm saying. Did you hear what I'm saying? Both types may be required by God. I'm not saying that we never apologize flesh to flesh to make peace, but you only do it under the command of God. Because there's only one that's going to cause you to prosper. And that's when you take care of it with God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God may say, Stan, I didn't like what you just did. I say, oh God, I'm sorry. And He says, thank you, but I need you to do one other thing. I need you to go to apologize to so-and-so. Oh,
Okay. I'll get around to it. No, you'll do it now. You understand what I'm saying? When you said okay to God, and meant it, in other words, you'll do whatever it takes, that causes you to prosper. You'll never prosper by apologizing to another man. You'll only prosper because you obeyed God. Don't get them mixed up. Because if you get them mixed up, the guy will refuse your apology, and now you'll think that you are not walking in the wisdom and the light and the abundance of God. You see what I'm saying? I hope you do. Okay. Turn to the right down at the last part. I got bold on this. I'm going to say it now so you can think about it until next week. It is not sin that kills you. Never said that in my life, Patrick, but after this study, I'm going to tell you. It's not sin that'll send you to hell. That's exactly right. It's disobedience, which when God tells you to repent, you do it. Or you won't make it. Don't tell me about 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 150 years ago, whenever you finally got saved. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about the last time God told you to do something. Did you do it? Because if you didn't get over that one, you risk your salvation. I didn't say you lose it. I said you're beginning to risk it. Don't risk it. Don't risk it. It's a treasure. Your salvation is a treasure. Jesus is a treasure. Salvation is a gift, a precious gift. It's the most valuable gift that you've ever had. And you need to hang on to it. If you can't think of anything else to say, hang on to it. Protect it. Don't let your foolish pride, don't let your whatever you used to find out or figure out about repentance and salvation, don't let it affect you from this day forward. Don't let it affect you. I guarantee you, if you get a soft heart, you'll spend a lot of time repenting to God. You won't spend very much time repenting to people. Let me say it another way. If you don't learn to quickly repent to God, you'll spend a lot of time repenting to people. I'd rather repent to God. Believe me, He's a lot friendlier and easier to get along with. And believe me this, He's a whole lot easier to talk to. Easier to get a hold of. So the first thing I want you to repent from is your understanding of repentance. That's the first thing I want you to repent from, is your understanding of repentance. It's your relationship with God. What He says, you do it. That's repentance. Can I tell you again? Whatever He says to do, when you do it, well, actually, that's obedience. When you hesitate for a moment, then it requires a repentance. Right, Bob? When He tells you to call somebody that you don't feel worthy to call and you don't want to challenge and you think He's twice as smart or three times as smart about this stuff than you are, it doesn't make any difference. Evidently, God knows something you don't know. And at this particular moment, you're smarter than the person that needs to be talked to because God said so. Amen? Repent from the very thought of you not being worthy or capable. Repent from it. Repent from the thought that you are not up to snuff. That your words may not come easy. I hope your words don't come easy. I hope God's words come easy. This is going to be a good study. I've got to stop. This. I'm not stopped yet. Now, since we don't have is there any guests in here? Don't. I'm on a roll here. That's probably a good idea. Let's have another session of children's church. We've got some adult family matters to take care of, and I want to take care of them without. This is family business, so just hang steady for a second. We got things to do. We got glory to accomplish. It won't take that long, maybe 20 minutes or whatever. You know something? I'm excited. I'm very excited. If there is a tape running, could we go ahead and end it now?